Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, Sign Guy and QT here with you again on another Sunday afternoon. A couple of quick show notes. Kentuckiana Die Hard Wrestling happening tonight down in Jeffersonville, Indiana at the arena. Also, a reminder, there is no weekly NWA Blue Collar Wrestling this week in Portland because a lot of the crew in Las Vegas, Nevada for the Cauliflower Alley Club Convention. Big NWA Blue Collar Wrestling versus NWA Circle City Wrestling event happening today as part of the wrestling show featured on this year's Cauliflower Alley Club. So if you're anywhere near Las Vegas, that should be a good time. Joey Kid Owens going to post live footage on his Facebook page, so definitely check that out if you can't be there in person. QT sounds like a great Cauliflower Alley Club from everything I've heard so far.
Yes, Sunday, and I passed along to Coach Mike Jones to give B. Brian Blair this message that I am working feverishly to give him front-of-the-line privileges just like Paul McCartney enjoys in life.
That poor man's going to be having to relocate, go into the QT relocation program, isn't he?
Oh, come on, it's just a message. Sadly, there's a chance that I will never meet B. Brian Blair in life. Although I probably will. I mean, I've got the wherewithal and the means in my retirement to go to the Cauliflower Alley Club. When will I retire? I'm not sure. That's to be determined. Yes.
Is that to be determined by a contest we can start this very week?
No, it's going to be determined kind of like on a 2 out of 3 falls or to a TV time limit. Pretty rare. There are some rare occasions where the third match was still going on, especially during Portland wrestling heydays. And it didn't happen often, but they'd have to cut the program while the wrestling was winding down, and the third match was still on. Yes.
That's true. And I believe we have been joined by our guest today. I want to bring him on right away. We are joined by KayfabeMemories.com founder Vince Vahey. Mr. Vince, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure to have you. Now, our first question we like to ask for the people on our program for the very first time, how did you get into professional wrestling to start?
I was probably a real latecomer compared to a lot of people. I grew up in Arizona for the most part, moved here when we were 10 years old, and so as a result, not a hotbed for territory wrestling at all. So this was, you know, early to mid-80s, and obviously that was when the McMahon train was starting to roll. And so everybody knew what that was, but that, for whatever reason at the time, didn't interest me. I don't know if it was the circus-like atmosphere or whatever, but it just wasn't something that caught my eye. So it really wasn't until probably late 86 or 87, I was home for lunch for some reason during school and turned on, I think it was ESPN, and saw World Class was on there, and I started watching that and kind of interested in that. And then back then, for those who are around, you know, with those cable channels, you would get all these weird offshoot cable or satellite channels, and somehow we were getting Memphis, and we got Savoldi's ICW and all these other little promotions, and I started watching that. And then finally, somehow I got turned on to TBS and then Saturday Night, and that was really what hooked me. And you know, 4 or 5 hour time, there was not a time I wasn't sitting in front of the TV watching the NWA on TBS.
Oh,
and that was it. That was it. That's what I mean.
Fast forwarding several years, you came up with the website kayfabememories.com, which was, especially in the beginning, strictly on pre-1989 territorial wrestling. What led you, when you created it, to come up with a specific website dedicated to the territorial system?
Well, by the time I did that, which was probably late 98, 99, by then I had, you know, fully been involved in the territory stuff, watching whatever I could. I used to do a lot of tape trading. So I had stuff from territories all over and was really, really, you know, swept up in all of it. And then I got my first computer and AOL was on, and they had a kind of a small wrestling community where you could talk to people back and forth. And I started connecting with people who grew up in these areas. And then probably the first website that really, even more so, actual website, apart from the portal at AOL, it was Wrestling Classics. And so you had this huge group of fans who were talking in depth about, you know, this angle or that angle or certain wrestlers in certain territories. And but it was kind of just a real hodgepodge. So I thought, you know, what if I could take my love and appreciation for all of this, these areas, and put it into one website that served not only as a message board specifically broken out by region with each territory listed within, but also I started tapping into this network of people who knew in depth about these territories, lived in these areas, and said, what if we did monthly articles by these people? They would write about whatever they wanted. I didn't really give them parameters. I just said, you know, you come up with something you want to write, and we'll see where it takes us. So that's kind of what we did. I had it divided up, and I had, I don't know, at one point I think we had people writing on anywhere from 20 to 35 different territories for us. My weekends were pretty much consumed with getting all these articles in, reformatting them, putting them up on the website, and that's kind of where it started, was in that way. And just, I thought, you know, we have this wealth of knowledge. Let's focus it and create something, you know, see what we can create on the internet.
You said that there was kind of a breakdown of all the territories that were around back then, and that's very true. Lots of fans from all over the place. You had Memphis, you had the Pacific Northwest, you had the AWA, World Class, so on and so forth. Arizona, where you come from, not really covered. Arizona, sort of a dead man's territory right there. It wasn't really ran by a consistent person that had people in and out of Arizona quite a bit. Did you ever consider having Arizona specific? Because there were a lot of promotions that would come in for short periods of time, but nothing really sustained, or was Arizona something, even though you were from there, you weren't necessarily over familiar with the history of it?
Well, I mean, it was something that occurred to me, but like you said, the problem was there was nothing consistent, where all these other territories had this one or maybe two fairly established, fairly large promotions and or territories that you could form something around. Here, there was nothing at any point, especially once I became really aware, even from the late 80s through the 90s, there was still nothing going on. I mean, I helped out with certain promotions. I remember one time I used to date a girl who lived about 30 miles from me, and I had to get off the freeway one night, was blocked off, and I had to take this really long detour down through not some of the nicer parts of Phoenix, and I just happened to be at a stoplight and looked over, and on this telephone pole, here was this flyer for a promotion. So I thought, well, let me look at that and let me go check it out. But there was nobody huge at that time. There was nobody that if I spoke to any number of fans around the country, they'd go, oh, yeah, I know that guy. I mean, maybe at the time, I think Louis Spoccoli came through when he was really early in his career. But there was just nobody that anybody would recognize. So it just didn't seem like a viable promotion to put up there that I would get either, A, enough interest from people to read it, or could I find somebody who could actually write me consistent articles on it, because it was just kind of really sporadic. This promoter would come in, he'd run for a month or two, and he'd go out of business, or he wasn't a great promoter, an honest promoter, so, you know, he would get shut down, and then somebody else would pop up, and they'd run for, you know, 3-4 months. So it was just hard to find any kind of a unifying promotion to get behind to do that. So I decided, you know, there's just not enough there to do that.
You had, over the entire span that Kayfabe Memories has been around, a large number of active participants in the business that have been involved in the website, from writing the articles like you discussed earlier to participating in the message boards and interacting with fans. I mean, people such as Road Warrior Animal, Dr. Tom Pritchard, the late Percy Pringle, the late Buddy Rose, referee James Beard, large number of people that worked in the territorial system found their way there and were active participants. When you started out, was that something that you had consciously thought would happen, or was that something that kind of surprised you as you went along and more people from the territorial system that were well known started flocking to kayfabememories.com?
It was kind of organic. It was not something I planned, because back again when I started it it was probably 99, sometime in 1999 I started it. We didn't have shoot interviews. We didn't have those kind of things that were around at the time. So it was still very much a closed society, and still very much kayfabe at that time. So as the site continued to move on and grow, workers would see it, and somehow they got wind of it. They'd see it. They'd tell their friends, and then I would start getting emails from people. I mean, and that was, for me, just a great byproduct. I mean, the site was such a good thing in so many ways. Certainly, personally, it gave me some friends that I still continue to have to this day. But I mean, I became friends, or friendly at least, with a lot of these guys that I had spent the last 10 or 15 years watching on TV. I remember one day I was at home, and the phone rings, and my wife answers, and she gives it to me, and she goes, I don't know who it is. And so I pick it up, and some guy says, is this Vince? And I said, yeah. And he says, this is Road Warrior Animal. And I'm like, I pause. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, so many things are rushing through my head, and I look at my wife like, you know, mouthing, oh, my God. And she's like, what? You know, she doesn't know. She doesn't care. And but for me, that was such a huge thing. And, you know, he only, you know, did one article for us, but just that, the fact that he did that and felt, you know, the site worthy enough to provide something, I thought was just incredible. And that kind of happened over and over again. I'd get a call. One time I got a call from Kevin Von Erich and some of the people you mentioned, or they sent me an email. And it was just such a cool thing to be able to have these people say, yeah, I'd love to do something like that. You know, still to this day, I'll get emails from people like Steve Carino saying, you know, I still look at your site, and it's just something that is so important that we have out there, and just, you know, I love it to this day. And you know, those are the things that make it worthwhile to keep it going in the manner that it does. Not what it was in its heyday, but still it has a presence, and it still has some sort of impact for people who care about that kind of thing.
Several years ago, when Playboy Buddy Rose was still with us, he kind of got into a little bit of controversy on the message boards at kayfabememories.com. It was kind of a big thing at the time. What were your opinions on that situation?
Well, it was unfortunate. It, you know, Buddy was somebody who loved controversy. He fed off that, whether that was for just his personal enjoyment or to stroke his ego to some degree. He was a nice guy, but I think he had trouble separating that part of himself. And so my thought process with when I dealt with my moderators and people who wrote with me and who kind of helped me run the site, it was like, you know, we don't, even if they're being difficult, we still don't want to burn any bridges as best as we can. Buddy was somebody who challenged that. No matter how nice we tried to be, no matter how patient we tried to be, he just had a difficult time reining it in. And that's a difficult position for myself and some of my colleagues to be in, is trying to go to this person and say, you know what, you got to knock it off. I mean, you're not doing yourself any favors with what you're doing. And it was hard to do because, you know, we wanted to present a site that had some sort of integrity, but at the same time, we didn't want it to become a haven for workers like Buddy who wanted to just kind of do their shtick and run their gimmick on the website, because that's going to chase people away as much as it may bring them in. And it finally, you know, eventually it came to such a degree, I think we ended up having to ban Buddy from the message board, because it was just too much. It was constant trouble that he caused with just saying certain things or upsetting people by what he was saying, and it got to the point where I think we ended up having to ban him, as hard as that was to do.
What would you say was the most surprising thing that you learned coming off of kayfabememories.com? What did you not know about a given territory or just wrestling in general that you found out just through the course of running the site?
I think I certainly, as I'm sure everybody did, you know, because even if I tape traded or whatever and saw different territories, it was still limited with what I had time for, what I was able to personally view. So some of the articles, especially those written by people who stuck with a certain territory for a really long time, such as Tim Dills with Memphis, he ran, I think he wrote almost the entire run of articles there. Jim Sordani, the late Jim Sordani, who did a good portion of the AWA. Max Levy, who did a tremendous amount of stuff with World Class. Some of these guys were just there for the long haul, and so their knowledge was really quite impressive of how much they knew about those territories and what they could bring out through that writing. And those were really good examples of people who bring out detail. They were very good writers, and so they were there. As much as they were relaying their memories, they were really teaching a lot of people about those territories. And so from my standpoint, where I saw some AWA on ESPN and whatnot, I certainly saw it in the latter days of its promotion when it was already on a downhill slide. But at one point, that Minnesota territory was quite big and quite popular, and so that was something that I learned through the site, through Jim's writing, and as a result, becoming friends with people who grew up in the Minnesota area and lived that, you know, firsthand. I was kind of surprised to see how big and how popular that was. But certainly, one of the best things that I enjoyed about the site was that as I'm reading all these things, it's piquing my interest in promotions that I hadn't seen. Somewhere like Continental or Southeastern Championship Wrestling, where that area in Alabama, I'm still fascinated with that area. I still haven't seen as much as I would like. Pacific Northwest, another territory where seem to be a big following, and I've only seen sporadic parts of it. So as much as it taught other people about these territories, it also taught me, because I was getting this wealth of knowledge and memories from all these people writing for me.
In addition to the wrestlers, like we talked about, you also had a large number of historians, guys like George Shire, Matt Farmer, people that really know the history of professional wrestling from its very beginning, past the end of the territorial days, really. What was it like having actual wrestling historians that have published books and are known to have this wealth of knowledge come to kayfabememories.com and stay pretty much for the long haul.
Well, it certainly added to the site again. I mean, it, you know, some people like Jim and I'm thinking about Gil Wilcox, who knew a lot about the Chicago and the Indianapolis territories, and people like Matt and it's been so long. We had a guy who just knew a ton of stuff about the Pacific Northwest and the Portland area. And who certainly knows his stuff when it comes to Minnesota. I mean, yeah, he's very specific in that area and has very strong opinions on the territory days versus what was current at that time and even now. But they certainly, their knowledge lended a sense of credibility to the site above and beyond what we may have already established. And having them share their knowledge and their memories, just again, it was one more addition or facet to the site that made it what it was.
At this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know that he also has a few questions, so I'm going to pass things over to QT for just a bit.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Vince.
Hi.
Vince, several of our Northwest wrestlers are currently attending the Cauliflower Alley Club convention, including Coach Mike Jones, Bad Blood, and Buddy Highway. Have you yourself ever been to a Cauliflower Alley Club convention?
I have. I've been to probably half a dozen. I think my first one was in 2002, possibly, and then I've gone over the years to several others. In 2010, they gave me the Red Bastien Friendship Award for what I had done with the website, which was a great honor, and it was a lot of fun that year. I don't remember a whole lot in terms of they got me up there giving a speech, and I really honestly don't remember a thing that I said. I was so nervous. I remember looking out, and here I am trying to give the speech, and there's Ted DiBiase in front of me, and there's Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I'm trying to come up with something, you know, witty or whatever to say, and I just have no idea what I said. I had some friends, a lot of friends that I've met through the site and through Cauliflower Alley, Mick Karch and Wes Daniel and Dale Spear and some other guys who came up and did this intro and some riff on, you know, introducing me and tying my name into to Vince McMahon and all this and playing off of that. That got a nice little snicker from everybody. But then, yeah, it was a real good honor. It was really great for them to do that. But yeah, it's a great organization. It's a lot of fun to go to those. I'm sorry that I wasn't able to make it this year. I always told myself if Arn Anderson ever got to Cauliflower Alley, I was going to make sure I was there. And unfortunately, he's there this year, and I just could not make it work. So, but for those fans who are listening, if they've not ever been, it's certainly worth to do that one time at least to see, be in that atmosphere with all those great workers.
Wow. I can't, now, I didn't quite get the name of that award. Can you repeat that award that you got?
It was the Red Bastien Friendship Award.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, and they've given that to fans over the years who've contributed somehow to the business.
Wow. And as you were making your speech, you said that Stone Cold was in the audience looking at you?
Yeah, Stone Cold, I remember, was there. Ted DiBiase, I think Jim Ross was there that year. I mean, there was a bunch of names, but those are the ones I remember keying on because they were right there in the front row. And I would have been nervous regardless. It could have been anybody sitting in the front row. I would have been nervous anyways, but those guys certainly amped up the butterflies in my stomach on that night.
Wow. Oh, all right. Well, after your speech, did Stone Cold stand up and say, can you give Vince a hell yeah?
You know, I don't think so. He may have, again, that whole night is blocked out at that point. I think I've got a DVD that they make DVDs of the banquets now, and I think I have that, and I haven't looked at it because I'm just so petrified to see how much I stumbled around and made a fool of myself. So, but no, I don't think he did, but that would have been cool had he.
Wow, yeah, okay. All right. Well, Vince, I checked out the KM Micro Wrestlers link on page one, you know, on the www.kayfabememories.com website, and I especially liked the Cape Micro Wrestler Baron von Roschke. This was on page one.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the micro heroes, this idea came about from comic book fans whose favorite characters they put in miniature form. And it looks like the micro wrestlers are a spinoff of that, am I right?
Right. Yeah, I had seen those somewhere. I don't remember where. Some like you said, a comic book site, and there was a link for the person who did it, and I emailed them, and I said, you know, I do this site. Would you be interested in you or some of your friends who are doing these do similar big characters for me? And he said, yeah. And so I started getting a few from these guys. And then it just got more and more. I mean, I had people emailing me say, hey, those are really cool. Can you tell me how they're doing them? I'd like to do them. And I kind of just pointed them in the direction of these and first few initial guys who did it for me. And then it just got more. It just kept going, and it was really cool. I mean, some people just did really nice jobs with some of these wrestlers, you know, capturing their likenesses. And I'd be surprised by some of the things I got, you know, from people. You know, you get the ones you expect, you know, Jake Roberts or Harley Race or whatever, but then I get people going back and doing Zebra Kid or, you know, Stan Hansen or Gordon Solie, somebody did, or, you know, just all kinds of them. So I was really happy with that section and the way it developed.
Well, I took a look at that second page, and I counted 115 micro wrestlers. Some of them including Doink the Clown, the Berserker, and the Grand Wizard. Those three were done by a man named Kurt Sloan. Have you met Mr. Sloan in person?
I haven't. I didn't. I haven't. He did a ton of them, though, but never have met him.
Yes, he seemed to do most of them. However, a man named Bodie did 12 of these micro wrestling figures. And they are Rick Steiner, Billy Jack Haynes, Zebra Kid, Cactus Jack, TNT, Jim Cornette, Conga the Barbarian, Midnight Rider, Carlos Colon, Dusty Rhodes, and Sting, who just retired. Have you met the man named Bodie that did 12 of these action figures?
I haven't. You know, I don't think I've ever met outside of any kind of internet or email interaction. I've not met any of these guys. You know, most of the people on the site who work for me, I've only met a handful of them. You know, meet them actually in person. I mean, you meet people online, but in terms of actually physically meeting them, it was only if they happened to go to Cauliflower Alley that we actually were able to meet.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I was surprised that there was only one female action figure, and that was of the Fabulous Moolah. Were you also kind of surprised at the lack of female action figures, micro wrestlers?
Possibly. I mean, you know, I think it's a matter of that that era of female wrestlers capturing the imagination, I guess, if you want to say that, or the attention of the fans. I mean, I think nowadays, especially with maybe the direction that WWE has gone with their women wrestlers, I think they're taking in a bit more different light than they have been in the past. You know, but every territory had female wrestlers, but for whatever reason, nobody ever sent me anything. And I think that just, I guess, spoke to the amount of attention that aspect of wrestling got, and it wasn't as much maybe as it should have been.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, Vince, if you had to choose two out of these seven action figures, which ones would you choose out of these seven? Two. You've got Captain Lou Albano, Gordon Solie, Doink the Clown, Brian Pillman, Jerry Lawler, Dr. Death Steve Williams, or Bob Orton Jr. Which two would you choose?
Which two?
Yes.
I'd do Lawler. And probably Hillman, and I say that based solely on the amount of work I saw them do, the amount of enjoyment I got from their work. For me, that when I'm doing stuff like that, if I've bought action figures in the past or whatever, it's whatever impact they had on me. And so those would have been the two workers that I, out of that grouping, that I would have enjoyed the most to have wanted to have an action figure of.
Wow, all right, very good choices. Now, I remember very clearly how the Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman feud captured the nation. You must have still probably, I'm going to say, that was just after you graduated from high school. Was that also a pivotal moment in your fascination with wrestling?
Well, I think, what did that happen in 80? Was that 84?
Somewhere
around
there? I think it was.
Yeah, so I was still in high school, and I remember hearing about it. I think I may have even seen them on Letterman, and at the time, that was still where I had not really got into wrestling too much. But I remember thinking, what the hell is this? You're watching this, and you don't know how to take it. Because I didn't know, I don't think I probably knew who Lawler was at the time, or if I had, it was very minuscule, but you knew Kaufman from Taxi. So I remember thinking, that's really crazy to see this. And, for those who, I'm sure for people who weren't in the know at the time, they're just watching us going, what is this? But that was certainly, as I then got more into wrestling and I saw documentaries about, I think there's one called I'm From Hollywood, detailing Kaufman's whole thing with Memphis. And it's just the way that was laid out was just fascinating. I mean, that must have been just a lot of fun for those Memphis fans to actually live through and watch this occurring and be a part of that. And I would think from Lawler's perspective and those wrestlers who were in the know, that must have been just a lot of fun to pull off as part of the show. But certainly I think for people who were viewing that, I would think that would be a pivotal instance of wrestling's impact and growth. So, yeah.
Well, that was pretty brave of Kaufman to take that pile driver.
Sure it was.
I actually think, that was a legit neck injury. Yes.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, because he took one or at least one, if not more than one, and it certainly was brave. I mean, not just from a physical standpoint, but from a career standpoint. I mean, although that was what Kaufman was. I mean, he certainly didn't play it safe in anything he did, but at a time when wrestling was not viewed the way it is today, or the way it was in the 90s, where everybody was watching it, his friends and his family and fellow comedians must have been looking at him like he was just batshit crazy.
Yes. Well, I also enjoyed your wrestling bio site. And from this bio site, I looked up William Alvin Moody, who is better known as Percy Pringle or Paul Bearer. I found out the following facts: that he enlisted in the Air Force and he completed his training at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, and that after training, he was stationed at Keesler Air Force Base in Biloxi, Mississippi, for his entire four-year enlistment. And it was while he was in the Air Force that he worked part-time for Mobile's Buddy Ambulance Service, and he became an emergency medical technician. And it was during this time that he was an EMT that his frequent visits to local funeral homes sparked his interest in mortuary service. And the other bio links that I saw on your bio site, includes Harley Race, Bobby Eaton, Tully Blanchard, Bruiser Brody, and one of Sign Guy's favorite, Eddie Gilbert. Would you elaborate a little bit more on this bio site?
Well, when I was developing the site, I wanted to kind of have a really comprehensive website that wasn't just simply a message board, because as much as I enjoyed Wrestling Classics, I mean, they had other aspects, but their message board was really their pull. And I am somebody who has an overtime and enjoyed reading, I enjoy writing, and so I wanted to provide a site that was full of information of all kinds of different sections, such as the bio site or the territory articles themselves, or you know, all kinds of different things. So it just seemed a natural aspect of the business to provide biographical pieces by people or of people, you know, and it didn't grow as much as I would have liked. I would have liked to have seen more people step up and write things. Of the, I don't know, maybe there's 16 or so pieces on here, I probably did a quarter of those, and I would have liked to have done more myself, but it was just a matter of time. Like I said, when I would do these every weekend, I must have spent probably 10 or 15 hours working on the website, updating articles, and just continually trying to, you know, grow it, or we do all kinds of things. So at the time too, I had a young child, and so I kind of really had to split my time between family life and doing this. So I would have liked to have done more of the biographical pieces, but it was just more of a matter of time. But yeah, you know, I was glad to do the ones that I did do. I mean, I probably did the Arn Anderson one really early. Arn is my all-time favorite wrestler, and that was the one that I did. But, again, it was meant to be one more thing that when people came to the site, they were there for a long time just enjoying what they saw.
Can you tell us about the KM store link and the KM replica mask link, and do you yourself have a large collection of Lucha masks?
I don't have a large collection of Lucha masks. I still think I have a lot of the masks. The masks were done for me by Juanita Timms, who was Ken Timms' wife. Ken was a wrestler for several territories, worked for Central States and other territories. And she, again, through the website, Ken would write for me, and then it came to be where, you know, his wife contacted me, and we were talking about things, and she says, you know, I do a lot of masks for some of the boys. I've done clothing and so forth, you know, and I, again, one more section to keep people interested in the site. I thought, you know, maybe we can do these replica masks and sell them on the website. So that's what we did, and I don't know how many we had it at one point. Unfortunately, the website, some areas are broken. I always mean to get back to it and clean it up, and I just have not been able to do it. But we were probably offering, I don't know, maybe 20 different masks. We had the Assassin. We had the Blue Blazer, the Bullet that Bob Armstrong used to wear, the Nightmares, the Super Destroyer, the Assassins. We had just all kinds, and I still have a good amount of those. I love those masks, especially the Mask Superstar, one of the Mask Superstar. That's one I'll still break out on Halloween sometime, because it looks just – it's a great-looking mask the way it fits. But, yeah, again, it was ideally meant to be one more section of the site that made it just a cool site to go to.
What's the price range of those masks? Can you give us a general price range?
I think when they were on sale, they were usually, I don't know, probably $16 to $25. They weren't super expensive. That was something that Juanita and I came up with a price point that she was happy with. Although, you know, it's been so long, it could have been more. I mean, it's been so long that's been done. They may have been more than that. But they weren't like crazy expensive. It was less than, you know, probably $75 for a mask, and they were good quality masks. I mean, they stood up. They're still the ones I have are still in great shape, and they don't deteriorate. So I would imagine if anybody's interested in those, Juanita's still around on the internet. They could certainly try and reach out to her, and you know, she may be willing to work something with them.
Wow, fantastic. Okay, all right, very good. All right, can you tell us what the temperature is like in your area right now, and is it indeed Phoenix?
It's a suburb of Phoenix. Right now it's been rainy today, so it's not been bad. But last week we had 3 or 4 days of over 95 degrees, so it's been warm. I mean, that's nothing for us right now. We that's the weather we'll take. Give it a couple months and we'll be in 116, so.
Wow, 95 degrees. Okay, I'm going to quickly, 95 degrees, I will pass that on to our weather club. It's a site I run.
Okay.
Well, it's fictional, yes, and nonfiction. Okay. Well, now, did you make it up to the Northwest during the 80s or 90s to watch wrestling? Have you ever made it up that far and during that time period?
No, not during that time period, no. I actually didn't get up into that area until 2000, sometime late, you know, maybe I think 2010, 2011, we came up through Seattle and had family and friends who were there. But no, I would have liked to, but just never did.
Oh, okay.
Again, because
All right.
A lot of that formula, a lot of that period of time where I was in the territory days, I mean, again, I was still in high school, college, so forth. So it just wasn't feasible for me to do at that time.
All right. Okay. Well, did you yourself turn out for wrestling in high school, or do you have a son and daughter that is into wrestling or other sports?
I never did. I wasn't much of a sports person in high school. Something I pay more attention to as an adult. My son now is quite good at baseball. And so that's something he's done. He did Little League, you know, when that was age appropriate. And now he plays for his junior high baseball team. He plays on our club baseball team. So I get to enjoy watching him do that. But yeah, for me, it was just not something I did. Certainly watched it as a spectator in high school, you know, going to the team and supporting the team, but not something I participated in.
Well, okay. All right. Well, Vince, do you have the autographed book called Encyclopedia WCCW, a book about the world-class championship wrestling territories from 1982 to 1989?
I don't. Who did that one?
I'm not sure. I'm going to have to do more research on that, but I saw it on your website, your Facebook page, yes.
That was on kayfabe.
No, it was on your, I believe your Facebook page. If you go to books and miscellaneous, it's underneath
okay.
Your book collection. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like an interesting book to check out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Vince, we have a game we play here on Turnbuckle Turmoil called Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. And you're given a choice between two subject matters, and I have a limited Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk for you. Would you like to play?
Sure.
Oh, all right. Okay. Now you just have to make the choice, like I said. All right. Geico Caveman or Aflac Duck?
In terms of what would I rather be around or what?
Your favorite character. Or maybe what would you rather be around, like to go bar hopping with? Yes.
I'd have to pick the caveman. The duck would annoy me every time he said Aflac. It would grate on me after a while. So as much as the caveman's vocabulary might be limited, at least I wouldn't have to listen to the quacking all the time.
Oh. All right. Okay. The Syracuse Chiefs or the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs?
I don't know. purely because I have no other idea otherwise. Syracuse Chiefs.
Oh, okay. Okay, very good. All right, Five Finger Death Punch or Alice in Chains?
Oh, that's tough because I like love both those bands. I'd probably really right now have to go Five Finger Death Punch. As much as I love Alice in Chains, and I'm actually reading a biography on Alice in Chains right now, but much different kind of music in terms of uplifting is not the right word, maybe energizing. Five Finger is much more energizing than Alice in Chains.
Yes. All right. Sons of Anarchy or the Weather Channel?
Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
Much more enjoyable, yeah.
Well, some of those Weather Channel girls are pretty attractive, yes. All right. George the Animal Steel or Barry Windham?
George the Animal Steel or who?
Or Barry Windham.
I'd pick Windham. I've met George, nice guy, very nice guy. But in terms of extended watchability, you got to go with Barry.
Okay, all right. The Masked Superstar or Mil Máscaras?
Masked Superstar. Again, Bill's a nice guy. Dealt with Bill a couple times. I've only met Máscaras once, and it was at a CAC, and I did not feel like he wanted to give me the time of day.
Oh, so. Okay. All right, I'll mark down the Masked Superstar for you. Okay, very good. Bass player Bootsy Collins of the Parliament Funkadelic or Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Flea.
Oh, okay.
Flea, yeah.
All right, Daffy Duck or the Tasmanian Devil?
Daffy.
Okay.
I get nervous around Taz. He'd be always spinning and sticking out his tongue and making that sound, and that would get annoying after a while.
Oh, okay. Well, that concludes Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. Thank you for your answers.
Sure.
And at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sun Guy.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, QT. Oh, Vince, I know that the landscape of wrestling has changed dramatically, to say the least, over the last 20 years or so. Do you keep up with the product that is available today at all? Do you go to local independents or watch some of the national promotions?
Here and there, in terms of locally, Arizona continues to be an area that just cannot sustain any sort of long-term promotion. Somewhere I started working with, we had a promotion called Western States Wrestling, and I started working with them, doing some, just helping out in general, various aspects of it. And we had some good workers come through at the time, people who weren't known. We actually had John Cena come through when he was still working as a prototype. He came through, but again, nothing can sustain here, and I don't know why. So locally, there's not much that I've watched. In terms of on television, here and there, I have my spurts. I'll go through and I'll keep an eye on what's happening with WWE. I have the network, so I'll watch some of the pay-per-views. Nothing seems to change a whole lot. I think with the way wrestling went, where you can turn on Raw or SmackDown and see a main event caliber match that's not being held off for the actual pay-per-views or big events, I think it hurts it overall. One of the things that with the network that I've enjoyed watching, especially now that they've added some of those World Championship Wrestling early episodes from the 80s, is all the squash matches. So you were left wanting more. I mean, you could come and watch the Road Warriors, destroy somebody, but you never got to see them fight Ole and Arn Anderson or the Rock and Roll Express on TV. You had to wait for the arena shows, and I think the way wrestling's gone, it's lacking that, and I think it hurts the product overall. But again, I'll watch sometimes. Ring of Honor, sometimes it's on TV here. It seems like sometimes it's not. I'll pop into that. I keep hearing about Lucha Underground, so I'm trying to work my way through some of those earlier episodes. But again, it's just not. It's not the same thing that I grew up, and I guess we could say that about a lot of different things, but the wrestling that I loved watching when I was younger is not there anymore, and so it's hard for me to really get caught up in the stuff that's going on today.
Now, as someone that kind of casually watches, what do you think are the biggest similarities and the biggest differences in the wrestling presented today as opposed to the territorial system that was the primary focus when you first started KayfabeMemories.com?
Well, in terms of differences, like I said, I think the way they present matches on TV is one thing, not having squash matches anymore. I think the ability to tell extended stories is not there anymore. Feuds or angles or run their course fairly quickly, where back in the day, you might see certain angles go 6-9 months a year, depending on what it was. So I think those are two of the biggest differences. In terms of similarities, I think there are some workers who grew up watching some of the territories, or some people like, for all the flack Triple H may get, I think he does love the industry. He loved what it was, and he tries to do some of that now, but he's constrained into whether it be his father-in-law's mindset or the need to do business the way it's supposed to be done today. But I think there's part of that where sometimes you see him trying to present that old school. I think a lot of what I've seen in NXT is promising. The way they're teaching the workers the respect for the industry and so forth. So I think that may be some of the stronger areas that tie back to what wrestling was.
Now, the KayfabeMemories.com still active. It, like you referenced earlier, it's maybe not as big as it had been previously, but still there, still a big presence among the wrestling community that enjoy the territorial system. But in the last few years, you've also included on the message boards areas that involve ECW and the post-territorial area, if you will, of WCW and WWE. Can you tell us what led to the decisions to kind of incorporate, I don't want to say recent, but more recent areas of wrestling?
Well, I think two different things that come to mind. First, the older we get, the farther we get away, you have to redefine what is classic. There's that song, 1985, by Bowling for Soup, and it says, something about when did Motley Crue become classic rock? And it's that same kind of thing. When does something become classic? And at this point, something like ECW, we're nearing 20 years past its heyday. So I think there has to be that kind of fluctuation or constant reevaluation of what's considered classic. In terms of the message board, as my time became less and less, I stepped away from that. We had other people kind of step in, and they felt, again, to drive traffic to the site, maybe we needed to expand those boundaries. And I didn't put up too much resistance because I understood the thought process. If the site, when we first started the site, we were very specific. We wanted to keep it to this time frame because that's what set us apart from everything else. Wrestling Classics and some of the other sites that started popping up at that time were very general in terms of the discussion. You could discuss old stuff, you could discuss new stuff, and we didn't want to do that. We wanted to be very specific and keep it to 1989 or earlier. But again, now we're nearly, I started KayFabe Memories in 99. We're short, a few years short of being 20 years that the site's been online. So I think you just at some point you have to reevaluate what that time frame is going to be, because what was new to us at the time is now old to people who started watching at that period of time. The people who grew up in the Attitude Era and the NWO stuff, that's classic wrestling to them. That's all they knew. So there's that thought process to get them to come to the site. You got to present the stuff that they grew up watching. So.
And when you started this whole thing, did anywhere in your conscious mind you think 20 years from now this thing will still be around? There'll be dozens upon dozens of actual in-ring talent that contribute to the site on a daily basis. There'll be historians that will get recognized by the Cauliflower Alley Club. Any of those thoughts swirling around your mind when you first launched?
No, nothing like that. I mean, I had no idea what to expect. Again, if you look at my experience here in Arizona, we didn't have large promotions. I was the only one of my friends that I grew up with who watched wrestling, who paid attention to it. So I had no idea how big it could have gotten, how big it was going to get. We had one point, the company that hosted the website, our traffic was so big, so much, that they contacted us and said, "Are you sure you guys are just a wrestling website? Because you're getting like porn site type traffic." And it was just, I would never have thought that it would have been that popular, with that much bandwidth being used, or that, like you said, I would have gotten an award or become friends with people I grew up watching on TV. Certainly wouldn't think it would have been here 20 years later. So no, I mean, I'm very pleased with what it's brought to people, not only because really what I wanted when I started it, my thought process was simply, I wanted to give back somehow in some way to the people I watched on TV. They gave me enjoyment. I wanted to give them something back, if nothing else, some sort of documentation of their history. Because as we all know, nobody keeps stats on wrestling. Nobody, I mean, half these guys, for them it was just a job. They didn't know what their impact was going to be. They didn't know they were going to have huge fans 20, 30 years later. So this was what my goal of the website. My single goal was to just simply give back to these guys and help preserve their history. And I'm proud that we've been able to do that. We've also been able to spur off, I guess, if you want to use that term, a couple other websites. You know, you've got Championship, the Wrestling from Florida Archives that Barry Rose does. We've got the Mid-Atlantic Gateway. I mean, there's several sites that we all kind of, I may have kind of started that ball rolling, but then these guys came along with territory-specific sites that have just bolstered and added to it, and I'm just proud of what we've all been able to do in our own, together and separately, to help preserve the history of this business.
We have just a few moments left, so I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners at all, go ahead and say that, plug and promote anything and everything that you might want to plug and promote. Floor is all yours.
Okay. No, I thank you guys for the opportunity. If there are people listening who haven't been to the website, please go visit. It's kayfabememories.com. There are certain areas, like we discussed, that are dead links, and I need to clean those up. But the stuff that counts is there, and there's a wealth of knowledge there. So please go and check it out. And if you've been a fan of the site, thank you for making it what it was and contributing, if you've contributed, or whether that's just been a visitor or contributing to the message board or whatnot. And we all appreciate your patronage to the site. And again, thank you guys for having me on.
It's been our pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us. Fans, if you've not gone to kayfabememories.com, definitely check it out. Great way to spend a few hours out of your day. Hit the message boards, look around, learn a few things about the territorial system of wrestling. We will be back with you next week. And if you're in the Las Vegas vicinity, enjoy Cauliflower Alley Club. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys.